You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with the under-16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Ulster.
Hi everyone, and you're very welcome to Series 2, Episode 32, I think. But obviously you may have noticed we've taken a little break because Stewie's very busy, I'm very busy. We're all very,
very busy.
We actually have a life as well outside of this stuff. So
we actually don't get paid full time for this.
Tell the people.
Yeah.
So we're bringing this out of the goodness of our hearts.
The goodness of our hearts. Pro bono.
To the people.
To the people. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, obviously we took a little bit of a break because we had a lot going on ourselves personally. Nothing to worry about now. We're just busy, busy boys. But thankfully we're back. And obviously we're back 1 week out from our live event, which we're really looking forward to. And we're going to plug a lot during the show. So Stewie, 8 days, you feel like we're getting ready to play in a big match?
I'm taking the casual approach to this one. I was going to turn up in the night. I'm working on my sound check voice.
Okay, give us a, can we have a little
2-2-2-2-1-2-2.
Can you all hear
can
it
you
down
hear
the
me
back
in the back can you? Hey, sit the fuck down, you will you?
See you in the blue jumper. Look, you're always at it. Every event.
Every fucking event we do, the guy, your man in the blue jumper.
It's always him, isn't it?
It's always him, yeah. From Waterford.
Oh, no. He's Shamrock Rovers.
He's Rovers in blue.
No, well, we're going to talk about a lot going on with fellas acting the maggot.
Right, yeah.
During the show today. Because, we missed out on a lot. We're going to mention the cup semi-finals. Obviously, we all know who's in the final now. And we're going to mention the fact that I was delighted that there was an announcement last week of 16,000 tickets sold, and it was made into an announcement.
Oh, I didn't see this actually, so there you go.
So the first announcement was made, the tickets had only gone on sale, I think, and 16,000, everyone's like, this is brilliant.
So tickets did go on sale probably about 3 weeks ago, am I right in saying that? They kind of quietly...
No, so what happened was they sold neutral tickets first, which nobody knew about.
Yeah, that was the
quiet... Which was poor form.
Poor form,
again,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
shouting about this every year, market it, promote it, get everybody on the bandwagon, our big day, sell it out, 35, 40,000, whatever.
Yeah.
We say this every year, Stu.
Yeah.
So... Then tickets went on sale to the neutral part of the ground. Nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
So then Bo's and Pat started announcing that their tickets will be going on sale for the certain areas of the ground that they have. And there was a big announcement after they went on sale that they sold 16,000 tickets within the first day, I think, whatever it was.
The clubs?
Yeah, to the ground.
Okay,
was sold out.
Very 60, good.
Which was brilliant. And as I say, there was an announcement made. So I was thinking, this is brilliant. After only a day or two, 16,000. We're looking easily at 30, 35,000 here.
Yeah.
Keep pushing, keep promoting. All gone quiet. Not a word again ever since. And someone, who did I see making the point on Twitter? And they were right about the fact that there was a big hullabaloo about this announcement. And yet now, because it's gone so quiet, does that mean sales have dropped off?
Yeah, well, I don't know. So, it comes back to what we kind of constantly seem to speak about. Like, just fucking set. Like, it. Like, just keep telling people. Like, why isn't there a television ad for this? Why isn't there an advertising
radio ad
for it?
Television, yeah. The whole lot. Like, we see this every year.
Get it out there. It's not just, and it has so much of a. The benefit is not just for the Sunday of the what's the date again?
28.
The benefit is for the game.
Mm.
You know, you're not an ad for the FAI Cup final. Will obviously go a long way to selling tickets for the game. But I think there's a larger thing going on there. You're kind of
publicly announcing.
You know, there's a game here, folks. You know, we have a professional league here. It's actually quite good if you bothered your whole to fucking go to games. Like, you know, not talking about anyone from Bohemian, Shamrock Rovers, Waterford, Sligo Rovers.
Well, as you say, it's our day to entice new people because
it is. Yeah,
you'll always have the diehards. That's fine. So of course, the two teams, Bo's and Pat's, and congratulations to them on getting to the final. And I think it's a brilliant final to have. And I don't think they've ever met in an FAI Cup final. I was reading that stat there.
Probably
which is
haven't.
Incredible stat, really, when you think of the two clubs, how big they are. But So they're obviously going to go, which is fine. Then you'll have the few neutrals, which will go along, League of Ireland fans anyway. But then there is that catchment of maybe an extra 5,000 you could entice. Next, you know, to, as you say, that might go to that, see it as a great game of ball, two good teams, and then think, I'm going to start giving this a chance next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally agree, yeah. And you're also getting to see the two top teams play in the Aviva Stadium. That's the package, like, you know, and it's always a great opportunity for everybody to see, you know, because people are obviously so used to seeing, you know, Ireland play there. And then when they see FA Cup final, they kind of tend to think, Jesus, this standard's really, really good. Like, you know, because the biggest problem we have, obviously, is the infrastructure, the stadiums. They don't look the best in the on TV. It, you know, they're not, we've all admitted to that. Like, so when we get into the Aviva Stadium and the product looks really well, everything looks well.
It's our showpiece there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that did disappoint me a bit. Now, I'm unsure as we talk today in terms of where the tickets are at or kind of the number that they're at. But I would be hopeful. Am I being unrealistic thinking we should be getting 35,000 to this?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
It's really well priced as well.
Yeah, very well priced.
Bit like our show, very well priced.
Very well priced, yeah. You know, yeah.
we're the men of the people. We're not trying to flog anyone here, you know.
Yeah, well priced. But obviously, there's a big buzz about the Ireland team at the moment as well, isn't there? And you know, the Portuguese game is sold out, and that all helps. It just kind of feeds into a kind of an interest in football, like, you know.
Like the FAI could market that. They need to try and back it.
Yeah, you're right, Al. They need to actually sell. Now, hopefully, you're going to games Thursday. Yeah. I'll be there as well. Hopefully, I better fucking see something in the way of promotion towards the game. I think they should. I know there will be. Mm. But you've got the program, and you've got the screens, and you've got the electronics advertising boards. Ever so, there better be a lot. Hopefully, there will be. The other thing as well, of course, the weather can be a little bit iffy on November. So you need to fucking sell tickets.
Tell people about you last year. Lockjaw at 10:30 at night. And you could
last year?
Do you remember? So the final was in
the
December.
Year I was hoarse.
No, the lockdown. So remember your jaw froze. You couldn't talk.
I couldn't talk. Last year I really struggled. We were pitch side last year as well.
And the lockdown.
I quite liked them on the pitch side, I have to say. The pity. I don't know if we're going to be doing this year. Well, hopefully we will be. But will we?
No,
will
the,
we
well, be? The empty. So to jog people's memory, obviously we were lockdown. So we were in the empty stadium. And the Aviva is a cold stadium, as you know, people. But the season had run on and it was in, I think it was the 5th of December.
It was the 5th of December,
It was the coldest day.
And do you remember that fog came in as well? This mystery
fog came
in. And
the game kicked off late Sunday evening. So I think it kicked off at 7 or half. Yeah. It was late anyway.
It was like something from an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
So by the time, obviously, the game went 90 minutes and whatever, then it went to extra time.
Yeah.
And we were...
I was in a bad way.
It was -1 degrees by the time we came back on Air Stew. Your jaw. I'm... So Stewie's jaw locked.
I was struggling to even. It was one of them, wasn't it? Yeah.
I
don't know what happened to me. My last year playing with Pats, I was just 34. I had to start wearing fucking gloves because the season started in February. And I remember I couldn't get circulation into my feet or my hands. And ever since then, it's just deteriorated. Gotten worse.
You really struggled.
Honestly, I was in a bad way. I was
having to hug you and kiss you to try and warm you up. It was unbelievable.
I had to drink 2 glasses of wine when I got home that night warm you.
I don't know. Hopefully, you look at the weather at the moment, it's very mild. So hopefully and that's another thing, Stu, in terms of if we were to market it, promote it, sell it properly, and you have the guts of 30-35, there's always the walk downs as well on the Sunday afternoon for the game.
On the day. But if the weather's not good, you won't get that. So that's why you just sell as much as Gordon Gekko would say, sell.
How do you think the game will go?
I think it'd be very tight. Really, I do think it'd be very tight. There's nothing between the two of them. Looking at the moment, you're thinking Pats are the team in form. However, the Sligo result.
But they actually played quite well.
I thought they played well against. I have to say they did. The goals just kind of came out of. They were fortuitous mistakes. Whatever. You know, all credit to Sligo for taking the opportunities. But
I came away from the game
thinking that's not a 3-0 game.
No, it wasn't.
Pats were all right, like, you know. So hopefully that doesn't dent their confidence. But I think if you were to ask me now, I'd say Pats. Pats are shading at the moment, I think, in terms of form. But it's a cup final, Alan. It's fucking, and let's be like, you know, obviously all the Pats fans are going to be having a go at me now. Bowles will probably make a bigger noise.
100%.
So, you know, it all it just depends on the day.
Well, that's clear. Everybody knows that. And in terms of the Bowles, the fans and what they've sold at the moment, and they have sold a bigger number, and they have that area behind the goals as well.
Yeah, the advantage Bowes have is that they've been there during the summer.
I wanted to ask you about that, Shu. So they played.
Helps, Alan.
Okay.
Come on, it helps.
Oh no,
helps.
I was in at those games, and they looked so comfortable in that environment and that surround, and almost to the point where they were relishing it.
Yeah.
Because when we played, come back to even Lansdowne. And any European game we played, I always felt I loved the European games more than the league games for two reasons. Yeah. One, obviously there was hype and excitement about them, but one, because the game was different in terms of it suited me, because the teams allow you to play, so there was more time in the ball, you play and all that, and that helped me where, rather than the rough and tumble stuff, right? But then what I loved was you walk into that bigger stadium and that feel, and all of a sudden it does lift you massively, doesn't it? Like you kind of get so excited, you get turned on by it. Like,
yeah, well, I felt not that I ever needed to be focused, it kind of switched me on even more, kind of focused me even more, and it does.
You're playing a higher
level. You get an extra 10-15% out of your performance for obvious reasons, but the playing in a big stadium, it's not just about you know, the crowd, the bigger pitch, the better pitch, whatever, the focus, the TV, whatever. It's everything. There's a lot of senses being hit, right? Not, you know, all, you know, you think about even the arrival on the ground. You normally get a coach down, like, you know, so there's a whatever hotel you're coming from. If you're staying in a hotel, I think both teams love to stay in a hotel, but you've got that drive to the ground.
Do you ever?
And then
the
what
drive?
kicks in, you see, is memories of when you were a kid going to Lansdowne, and it's fucking with your emotions. It really is, and you have to control it and take it. And then, you know, you're getting stopped at checkpoints. The crowd's getting bigger.
Do you remember that drive from the hotel for the Deportivo game? That's my last.
I do, yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah,
because normally
Dundrum. Do you remember Dundrum? We went through Dundrum
because we stayed out in what was
City
it?
West.
Yeah, so we had a good drive in, but the closer we were coming through the streets and in the city. But even out at, I remember people waving out office buildings and everything out on where was that?
So we picked up the police escort in Dundrum, and from there on, it just changed.
It was unreal.
As soon as anyone saw the police escort, they knew there's the Shells bus, and it was like, yeah, it was. I know it's a very, very special moment for all of us. Yeah, it
because
really
we
was.
Only, like, obviously the Ireland matches, so the pubs that are dotted around Balls Bridge and that, you'd always see the Irish fans outside and whatever. But when we were coming through, all the fans were outside the ground and they were waving and singing.
And Cork City jerseys, Bowes jerseys. It was brilliant. It was really, and that's what made it very, very special for me. Like, it was just to see that it just galvanised everyone. Everyone kind of said, you know what, let's give them a one big push for this. And then next week he told us to go and fuck off to our face.
but yeah, that's I do believe that as well, Stu, in the sense that Bowes looked so at home. Now, if you were to ask me weeks ago after the Bowes games then and all, I'd be all about Bowes for the cup. But as you say, their form has been so patchy. They did get a good win on Sunday, obviously, against Drogheda, which has pushed them up to fourth. So I do agree with you. And even watching Pats, I thought Pats played really well the other night. Now, Sligo played very well too and were good value, but I don't think it was ever a 3-0.
Yeah.
And I even mentioned this after the match in terms of, I think Tony asked us, would you be worried about the defeat? And I said, no, they actually played quite well, Tony, believe it or not, even though I don't think Stephen would be too disappointed with the performance. Yeah. Of course, he'd be very disappointed with the result and the concession.
They had a free hit at the game, didn't they? You just kind of feel from Pat's point of view, they're having a little bit of a look at Bowes, whereas Bowes had, from Pat's point of view, they just kind of needed to kind of maybe toy around with a few things, like, you know. Mm. I'm talking about what I'm trying to compare here is that Pats are now at a stage where they can prepare for a cup final. Mm. Bowes are still scrapping, and they can't think about it yet. So
that's 100%.
So Pats have a free hit here. They can kind of manipulate a few things, might change a few things, maybe rest a couple of players that might be struggling, like, you know. But
because that's what I saw, I thought Stephen was doing, in the sense he left out Matty Smith and played Coughlin. I felt it was a bit, was he having another look? Because Coughlin's form has dipped so poor, and he was very poor and got taken off, and Smith
he's
comes
trying on. To get confidence into him. Yeah,
and I don't think he'll play now in the cup final. I think he'll go with Smith. I think he'll actually go with the team that finished the match, because he played Forrester wide left, and we love Forrester, and the difference in him in the second half, centre midfield. He ran the whole game when he went back into the centre midfield. Whereas in the first half, out in the left, it was that in and out kind of Forrester that we don't kind of...
Did Manny Smith play up front, central?
In the second half, played it through the middle, yeah.
Gives you pace, Al, and especially against...
He played Dara Burns on the right, who's excellent, the young lad, and he played Billy King. Now, I still think Billy King, there might be a question mark, but I just felt that team in the second half could be what Stephen will go with in the cup final.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think, you know, when you look at defensively, two centre-halves with Bowles, like, if you've got pace against them, it'll give them a lot to think about. Like, you know, obviously, Cock can probably drop in. Might be a little bit easier to mark, but it depends on what way they want to play Pats in the game. Like, you know, do they want that link man, or do they want to be able to get in behind
them? I think
them?
Could be Benson. If you play Smith through the middle, he might play Benson.
But see, this is it. Robbie's obviously with Robbie coming back now, and he looked, I mean, he looked a little bit tired in the game at times, although he's certainly
moving.
Yeah, he's moving, and his vision was there. Do you get me? I mean, that pass he played in the first half,
oh, it was unbelievable.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Wasn't that brilliant?
First time left foot pass. But I'd be worried about his fitness. He'll obviously start, 100%. Obviously start, you know, so whether you can get the whole game out of him. I'd be surprised if he'll last the whole game being out for so long, and but still 70 minutes.
Yeah, so no, I'm really looking forward to it. We will discuss this more in depth obviously on the live show, because we have St. Pat's manager Stevie O'Donnell will be with us on the night, so we will delve more into it, not too much, because I don't think Stevie will want to give too much away, and we wouldn't put him in that position.
I will keep it lighthearted. We won't be putting them under pressure before the game. No, we keep it lighthearted.
No, not pressure, but just
what? What are you going to ask him?
Well, we'll ask him like the odd question about it, but we won't be grilling him about it or anything, to be fair. Steve's our friend. So yeah, so I think it's going to be a great cup final. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, see, it's really interesting. It breaks up the monotony, wrong word to use. We've gotten so used to three teams maybe dominating. I mean, I know Rovers recently kind of came in before Dundalk won it last year, but it's been effectively Dundalk, right?
And
Cork and Rovers kind of thrown in to kind of split it up, but it's nice to see
two different teams. Brilliant.
Yeah, well, it kind of tells you now that there's development and there's improvements going on in all the other teams, like, you know. And for a long time, Pat's Bows have been sort of idling a little bit in mid table, and now they've moved up a gear in the last couple of years, and they're now sort of starting to knock
on
the
door. And we even saw, to be fair, like, you think of the Shamrock Rovers emergence, it was the cup really that.
It gave the players the confidence,
wasn't
it?
Yeah,
to win a trophy, you have to know how to win a trophy. It's a thing. It's hard to explain to players, but to get over the line, it's just you have to experience it as a group of players, like, you know. And there's a way of winning trophies. Mm. And yeah, you're right. Rovers obviously got that with the cup, and then ultimately went on to win the two league titles as well.
So yeah, we'll discuss more about that obviously next week, and we're really looking forward to it. But of course, the league action. And that match, that Sligo and Pat, so Sligo confirmed the fact that European football stew, and they played really, really well, because I've mentioned many times on the show, particularly last year when I would have been critical maybe of them, not this year, not so much, because I think the recruitment was very good in the off season and bringing in Bulger and McCourt and the likes. I thought they obviously had a better team, so. But my argument has always been that's where they should be in terms of challenging for the European slots. Sligo Rovers, full-time football, good resources, good budget, well looked after. The least they should be doing is challenging for Europe. So if someone said to Liam at the start of the year that you'd finished third, I would have said absolutely, that'd be brilliant, a brilliant result. Now, the mid-season form was horrendous, and 3-4 weeks ago people were looking, thinking this is going pear-shaped, and there was a bit of pressure on Liam. But to be fair, the last four games, they obviously won three and drew one and have gotten themselves over the line.
Has he ever spoken about that, has he? I wonder, has he ever touched on it? I mean, after the fact, the European stuff, that little period in was it May, June, where they just seemed to, they fell off
the
cliff.
Well, you think, Stu, of the last four games where they've picked up three wins and a draw, which has gotten them over the line, I think the previous 15 games they'd only won two.
Yeah,
and like people, I was only looking at this the other day. People asked the question why Shamrock Rovers are running away with it, right? St. Pat's themselves, so they've been the two challengers, St. Pat's and Sligo. And I was only looking at this before the game the other night. So you look at that form, and it kind of tells you about the league as well, that Sligo Rovers, despite only picking up two wins in 15, still stayed in third. So what does that tell you about the chasing pack and how teams have been?
It doesn't look very well on the overall standard. It doesn't. I mean, Pats and Sligo both lost 10 games.
And you look at, this is the stat for me then. So Pats going into the game the other night had done something similar with Sligo. They had picked up 7 points from 9 in their last 3 games. But the previous 9 games before that, they had lost 5 games. out of nine.
Yeah, and the other thing is, and it's something that struck me a couple of weeks ago, and because we haven't touched on it, was the Rovers Finn Harps game. The game they had to win the league, but when you look back at sort of compare this season to last season, 18 games played last year, they conceded 7 league goals.
Yeah,
it's fucking incredible.
And look at the amount of goals and this year, last year as well in 18 games.
This year they conceded, I think it was a high 20s.
Yeah.
Like, it's chalk and cheese. Yeah. Now,
and this year they've played 33 games and they've scored 53, whereas last year they only played 18 and they scored, what was it? I saw the figure last week, but it's a hell of a, because you had obviously Byrne and McAniff as well. And I make this point, and Shamrock Rovers fans
now
are giving me stick because I'm saying they haven't been that impressive, which they haven't been, but they've been the best team to win the league, and I've no problem with that.
Yeah.
And they have been the best team. Very functional and a good side. But the point I would make to back that up is, say if Byrne and McAniff, if you had last year's teams, Stu, in this league, they would have won the league by 25 points this year.
Yeah, you'd argue that. But I'm going to, as you're talking about that, I'll bring it up, right? And it's to his credit, right? So Stephen Bradley mentioned this in the Harps game, okay? The first time I've ever heard him spoken about losing the likes of Jack Byrne, Aaron McAniff. That was a huge gap.
35 goals.
Huge gap for them to fail, right? But to be fair to him, he's saying it publicly at the right time, and I'll tell you why. If he had turned around to his squad of players
at the start of the season
and said that, they wouldn't have fucking turned up. Mm. They would have shit themselves, but that plays psychologically on your players. And I always say this, and it's, psychology is such a huge thing in the game. And, I would often talk about this in terms of winning a league title, okay? In order for you to win a league title, mentally win a league title, it has to be your goal from pre-season. The minute you come in that fucking door, we're here to win a league title, like, you know? And that's now at Rovers, and they lost those two players, and if Bradley had to come out and spoke about that publicly, it would have... Because I've heard other managers do it, and I'd be shouting at the television screen, going, why are you bringing that up? Like, you know, you need to keep... So he kept them on the ball. He knew... They were short. He knew they were short, and then he had to kind of galvanize that squad and get them. I think he needed to get over those first couple of months, right? And don't forget, remember April. Mm. Remember 4 weeks in April where they took 10 points from 12, and three of them games were last minute winners. Mm. Remember talking about the Longford away, Mandroyo header away to Drogheda. They were just holding on by the skin of their teeth, and that was the period they needed to get over. Once they got over that, then it was just maintaining a level, like, you know.
You've
got to give them credit for it.
No, 100%. Like. And of course, you'll always, they win the league, they're the best team. And I think where they deserve credit as well is those two players were mentioned in, were not only the best players at Shamrock Rovers, they were the best players in the league last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, so when we bring those two players up, I don't mean it in any disrespectful way to the players that are there, because they're all excellent players that are there. But the point is, where he deserves credit as well, Mandreau has been brilliant for him. And I would put Mandreau in the bracket of could be as good as those two that we've mentioned.
I agree.
He is an unbelievable talent.
I agree.
And to be fair to them, he obviously had a difficult time at Bowes and whatever happened. And whereas he's come into that team this year and he's been absolutely brilliant. But that is the talent that he has.
Yeah.
That hasn't surprised me that he's been brilliant. I think Mandreau is an unbelievable talent.
Yeah.
So they deserve credit for that as well.
Mandroyo.
So the Shamrock Rovers fans, will you stop tweeting me and annoying me shite?
Mandroyo.
I'm giving you credit and just leave me alone.
To be fair to him, I know we need to move on. First game of the season, Sligo, remember we covered it?
Mm.
He was poor in that game. He struggled with the whole his defensive duties that he was asked to do.
Yeah. But they got him up to it.
And then he took it on board, yeah.
Well, one player who doesn't struggle with defensive duties is a man who, obviously, he's been around a long time, Stu. A friend of mine as well. I'm delighted to say we have him on the line here now for a little bit of a chat. And without giving him a big head, right... Because, as I say, I was a bit critical of Sligo last year. I was happy then this year in the sense the players they brought in. But the main player that they brought in that, for me, has driven the whole thing forward and got them to the point where last week they got the result in Inchicore and got themselves to Europe. And he has been an absolute driving force, not only on the pitch, off the pitch. He's been absolutely brilliant. And for me, he's the player of the year for them. And that's Mr. Greg Bulger. Greg, how are you?
How are you doing,
Al? Now,
that was some reception.
Isn't that what? That's probably the best intro I've given anyone all season.
How are you, Greg? Are you Alan's mate?
I save you the 50 when I see you.
Can you confirm you're Alan's friend? He just said you're his friend. Can you confirm that, please?
Yeah. We're good friends.
So I'm just saying now, when I'm down next Sunday night, I'll be in the Fiddlers, I'll have dinner, and I'll have a 4 pints of Guinness after that intro.
I'll have to get you more than 4 after that intro.
No, Greg, listen, you've been great all year. I've covered a lot of the games. And the team, to be fair, have done really well at stages. But I just want to touch on that, I suppose. You've been around league-winning sides. Obviously, you're set at Cork, Pats, Shamrock Rovers. But when you signed with Sligo, and of course, I suppose, some of the attraction was the fact that full-time football, but working with Liam again. What was the targets that were set out maybe at the start of the year, Greg, when you came in?
Look, obviously, meeting Liam after I left Shamrock Rovers, you know Liam. I've worked with Liam for a few years at Pats, and I know the way he operates. And he always wants, his first words were to me, like, I'm not Sligo to waste my time. Like, we want to try and challenge and try and win. And obviously, we need to get Europe again and maybe progress. Might need a year or two. Progress, get Europe, get the budget up, trying to attract better players. Obviously, it's hard to get players out west and out of Dublin as well, you know, and you might have to go further afield. But his ambitions were, start of the year was top three. And then if we can challenge Shamrock Rovers or whoever's going to be up the top, obviously we top three, Dundalk will be there again this year. And Bowes, we knew it was going to be very tough, but our whole target this year was to get Europe, whether that was top three or four. And the 6 year we went, obviously we started really well. We started really, really well. And look, it was disappointing that we went through a sticky patch during the year and we couldn't get out of it. It probably took us too long to get out of that patch, which was disappointing and probably a bit of frustration on our part. But look, we've secured Europe now. And look, we're happy the way it is. And I'm sure Liam is going to try and bring players in next year and add to the group we have. We have a good core group of lads there, and add to it. And then hopefully then now next year we can go better than we have this year and stick in that race longer, you know?
Yeah, as I mentioned there, Greg, you've been around league-winning sides and played in great teams with great players over the years at Cork, Pats, obviously Shamrock Rovers. When you looked around at that Sligo Rovers dressing room and after listening to Liam in terms of what his targets might have been, did you sense there was enough in that dressing room that they were obviously very realistic targets?
Yeah, no, look, to be honest, I didn't know too many. Like, obviously, playing with the league last year, I was obviously that bit shorter. And obviously, I was a bit injured. So I was coming in and I knew there was a good group, core lads, like the Sligo lads there with John Mann, Ed. Obviously, I know Gary Buckley, playing with before. And I was kind of going into the unknown and I didn't know until obviously I got in, met the lads, pre-season came. Got a few weeks under the belt and I really thought, geez, and Liam was adding a few players to it. And I was like, geez, we will be all right here. I really did. I thought we'll be all right. We'll have a right go. And winning league, maybe that probably didn't come into my thoughts because, look, it takes years for a team from obviously to build and progress and stuff like that. But I knew we'd be all right. I said, we'd be competitive here. Obviously, we had a thin enough squad, but we had a bit of quality in the team. We're good discipline in terms of, like, we're a good structure down the middle of the pitch. So I just thought, we'll be okay. We'll be competitive. And we probably hit the ground running. And probably just it was hard to keep them standards going throughout the year with a thin squad. And there could have been a few players missing here and there through injury or suspension or whatever, and it probably hurt us, you know, in the run, especially around Europe, and there's a lot of games. But when I came in first, I was kind of going into the unknown. I wasn't really sure, and then obviously Liam brought in a few players, and then as pre-season went on, I really thought, geez, we have a good team here, and we'll have a good chance of being really competitive. And I thought, felt we were this year, you know.
Stewie often mentions on the show, and I agree with him totally, Greg, and you would know this from winning leagues yourself, but at the start, the outline, we're here to win a league when you're with one of the big clubs and the teams. So you mentioned there that the target was top three. And to be fair, I would have said at the start of the season, if Sligo Rovers get Europe, I would have been over the moon with that. I never had them down as title contenders at the start of the season. When you got off to the brilliant start, and I think after 14 matches, I was at the game in Tala when he beat Shamrock Rovers, Park scored, Romeo scored, and it was he played really, really well on the night. Did that change at all amongst the dressing room or discussions with yourselves or the players, or did you think, lads, we have an unbelievable chance of winning the league here?
Yeah, no, it did in a way. After that night, and I was kind of, everyone, obviously we were happy, we were buzzing that we won, we bet Shamrock Rovers in Tala, we were flying, and there was a case where we were all buzzing, and maybe me being Debbie Downer, I was just like, lads, look, enjoy it, But like nothing's done, nothing's whatever. Like there's gonna be turns on the way. And I was in the dressing room after the game, and I was kind of felt so I even said that, but I just let enjoy the moment. But I just like try not to get carried away with the whole thing. That like, look, it's a long way to go. Obviously, in the night, Shamrock Rovers were missing a good few players through injury as well. Like there were 10 at the time at that time, and there would be players coming back, and that'll only help them. So it was kind of a case where. After that night, like, I was like, just don't get too ahead of ourselves. You know, it's going to be a long season. Teams are going to be up and downs, and it's how we react to that, you know. And look, it's kind of turned out that way for us, unfortunately. You know, we kind of, like I said, we went through that bad spell. But there was talks of that if we can stay up there. And Liam never really talked about that. He just, on about, see how we go, plug along, try and stay up there as long as possible. But amongst players, there was a bit of that excitement that, Jesus, you know, you get that excitement to say, we could have a chance here. But I kind of knew deep down we might be a bit short going forward. And if we were to miss a few players, it could hurt us. And I think it did, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've often found, Greg, that it's not necessarily the manager's job to come in and say, calm down. Fella. The players have to understand it themselves. And the fact that you're saying it, you had the experience of being there, but trying to get buy-in from the rest of the players, it's hard to get that message across to them until they experience it. And then, of course, you'd probably say that the run of the poor run probably didn't come too far after that, did it?
No, I probably didn't. I think it was around Europe. It could have been a few weeks later or a month later, maybe. I'm not sure what round of time it was. But it was a case where we lost in Europe, and I think heads were gone. We should have got through. It was probably, for me personally anyway, and even I was talking to David Cawley and Gary, it's probably the worst team I've ever played in Europe. Yeah. And we were put out. And obviously, I didn't help getting sent off in the first game. But I think we felt we should have won the second game. We had enough in the first 20 minutes, and then we got a sucker punch, and we just didn't recover, you know. And it took a few weeks then to get our heads back around, which was too long, you know. But that's the way it goes.
Because I was at that European game in the showgrounds, and it was, of all the teams I've seen in Europe, if you were to pick one, that would be the team you would want to play against. And also, you went out of the cup with Cork. And so can you, Greg, I suppose, looking back on it now, can you put your finger on that mid-season slump? Because the two wins, I think, out of 15 before the last four matches there that you've just played, where obviously you've picked up three wins and a draw. But like, that's a dreadful run, really.
Yeah, no, it was a poor run. I don't know, I can't really put my finger on it, but I just think, you know, I think us as a team maybe kind of, look, without saying too much, I think you might have forgot what got us there. Like, we were hard to beat, we were fit, we were in people's faces, and then we had quality, we were solid down the pitch, we had the best defensive record, and maybe when we got up there to the top, we maybe got a bit carried away and probably thinking we were better than we were, you know, and we kind of came away from what got us there, and it was kind of always saying that, Liam as well, like putting it back into last week, you need to realise what got us here and get back to that, being hard to be, being solid. And like, we had a quality up the pitch then with Johnny and Jordan Gibson and Walter, the lads will nick his goals, but maybe we came away from that a bit, and obviously then getting put out in Europe in the cup then in the space of probably what, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever, heads probably dropped a bit, you know. But it was a case where even the last few weeks there, I was kind of saying to the lads in the group as individuals and as a group that you need to learn from that next year. If this stuff happens, something, if we get a setback, like, we can't dwell on it too much, and kind of need to get it out of our head and move on, and we don't have time to feel sorry for ourselves, because there's going to be a game after game, it could be two a week, you know. So I think it's a case where that was spoke about, that like, if this happens again going forward, that we learn from it, you know, and experience, like, and go through that experience and what we can do different, you know.
So that's a good point, Greg. How are you guys fixed for keeping the same squad for next year? Does it look like everyone tied down, or is there a few loose ends, or what way is it looking?
I think there'll be a few more announcements in the next week or two. But I think the bulk of the squad is there, especially down the middle of the pitch, in the back five. I think there's one or two to be done. I don't want to give away too much. I'm sure the club will be announcing it. But we do. We have a good core group there of players. And I think Liam is desperate to add to what we have. And obviously, there might be a few moving on, I'm not sure. But he's definitely mad to add to it, you know, and kind of get that bigger squad depth that'll help us through the campaign next year, you know.
Did you find, Greg, because I mentioned even on the telly the other night about just the back five, obviously, with the goalkeeper in the back four, the best defensive record in the league, the four of them are brilliant. I love John Mann, but I think Buckley's been outstanding as well, and they complement each other so well. And obviously, you sitting in front of him. So there's such a brilliant foundation to build from.
Yeah.
But when you, obviously, as I mentioned, you've been around big clubs over the years. Did it surprise you not how big Sligo Rovers is, but just in terms of the interest that's there from obviously the local community. Of course, I grew up there and lived in the showgrounds all my life, but and I know all about it. But from you coming in from the outside, you obviously would have known a certain degree about them from playing against them, but has it surprised you just in terms of the love that people have for Sligo Rovers?
Yeah, no, it did, to be fair. I kind of had a similar connection when I went to Cork City, you know, because obviously I played in Dublin most of my career, back down to Cork, and then back to Shamrock Rovers. Then when I came to Sligo, I kind of felt, got that feel of Cork City, but it's they love it up here. I was surprised. You probably kind of take it for granted. You're in your own bubble and you're doing your own team, playing with your whatever club you're playing with, and you don't really look at that. But when you get up and get into Sligo, it's soccer, football mad, you know, the town. And like, there's so many volunteers, the people in the club, you know, it's obviously the fans going to the games, and you have the local lads here as well, which is, I think, you need in them clubs, having local blood coming through, and we have a good lot of it there. That's kind of the foundation. You need that, I think, in every club from players around the area. And it's just, it really surprised me how big a deal it is, and the local papers, everyone, the fans, meeting people on the street. And you go into for food and restaurants and all that stuff. They're always Sligo town mad and people going with their jerseys. But it did surprise me. But obviously, look, I'm buying to it. And it's one now that hopefully, obviously, we got Europe from this year. It's great for the club, for the board, for the players, for the experience it now again next year. Hopefully learn from this year. And then, it did really surprise me, and it's great to see, you know.
Yeah, well, they've taken you in, which is no surprise, really, because, as I say, your performance has been outstanding. But two other lads who've been outstanding, and you mentioned it, they're two locals. And again, from your experience over the years in the league, just how good are John Mahan and Johnny Kenny?
Yeah, look, John Mahan, you forget John Mahan is 21, like, you kind of just take him for granted that he's just there, he's going to play every week.
He's my favourite, Greg. He's my favourite. I absolutely love John Mahan.
And I think there's really more. There's more in him. I think he, as in, like, in terms of playing ball and stuff like that, yeah, he's a great defender. He wins his headers, he wins his tackle, he's aggressive. And, like, he magnet heads. But, like, if there's more in him, he can play ball. Like, he can play ball. And, like, I think as the season went on, he got more confident in doing it. He can do it. There's no doubt about it. Then, obviously, with Gary beside him, they complement each other so well. Gary reading the play. And, like, to be fair to Gary, obviously, I'd be a good mate with Gary, but that's his first full season playing centre back.
Well, the thing about him, I'm glad you mentioned him too, because he's been absolutely brilliant.
And, yeah, the two of them have been brilliant, you know.
And the one thing with Gary as well, Greg, I would have obviously covered all the games over the years with Stu when Gary would have been with the Cork team playing the midfield. And it always amazed me in terms of, I never felt it was his position. And I've looked at him this year at centre half thinking he's an absolute Rolls Royce at centre half. He's brilliant.
Yeah, no, he's been brilliant. The two of them have complimented each other really well, you know. Like I think Gary's mentioned it before in interviews that, like, or John's weaknesses is probably Gary's strengths. Mm-hmm. Gary's strength or weaknesses is John's strengths, you know, and they complement each other really well. So it's great to have him, and great to have him behind me and books and talking. I think it's vital for the six, like, that you have your centre half talking to you, and then vice versa, you can talk back to them. And I think it's worked really well for us this year. Then obviously you got young John Kenny. He's a diamond, isn't he? You can see him as the season went on, like, turning into a man. You know, when he came in first pre-season, boy, and I was kind of talking to Gary and John and asked him, like, will Johnny, like, will he impact the first team? And I was like, I think he will. Like, and I kind of, like, right, he's young, though, and he can't really depend on him and stuff like that. But, geez, as the season's gone on, you can see him growing into a man, getting stronger. His game intelligence is getting better when holding up the ball. You know, Johnny loves running behind, but even bringing lads into play now, that's improved. And, geez, the sky's the limit for him, you know.
New three-year deal as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he just signed new three-year
deal. What car does he drive?
A tractor.
Right, you keep him in that fucking tractor. And if he turns up the train with dyed hair or a BMW, give him a slap.
No, Stewie, believe me, see his background and the stock that he comes from, Riverstown, he will never turn out like that, believe me.
Good for him.
Never.
we were driving, I think we were going to the game Friday against St. Pat's. And we're in the bus, and Johnny himself and Gary on the back, and Johnny was down just beside us, and we were passing this tractor on the side of the road. Johnny goes, "There's my brother."
In a Massey Ferguson.
Stop,
Yeah, no.
He goes, it is. Look, he looked in the window line and there's a spit of Johnny in us.
No? He's from good stock as well. His dad was an absolute legend. Yeah. And not only was he a great player, but he was a great fella as well. And I think what I've heard, his mum is the same. So the sky is definitely the limit. The last thing, Greg, you've been great with your time and thanks a million. Can you look after me with the free membership for Castle Darragon as well? Because you never are off that golf course.
I'm actually sitting in the car now waiting for tee off. I'm going to get off the board. I'm late for me tee off.
All right, well, we'll have 18 holes the next time I'm down and you can buy me those few pints and dinner, okay?
Definitely, yeah.
All right, listen, Greg, you've been absolutely brilliant all year. Fair play. Congrats on getting to Europe and I wish you well. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Greg.
Thanks, lads. Thanks very much. Enjoy the podcast. Always listen.
Brilliant.
Thanks for having us on.
Cheers, pal.
See ya, bye.
Take care.
Yeah, he is. He's a great lad, too. Friday night, he just epitomises everything that's good about that team, and that's the point I'm making in terms of you need someone driving the whole thing forward. Liam, at times, his mannerism. Liam's a lovely man and nice and kind of on the line. He keeps calm and balanced. But Greg on the pitch is driving him, barking orders. Because that's one thing annoys me so much when you go to games now. It's so quiet. Like, we often talk about, and you don't want to sound like old fellas, but
no.
In our dressing room, you'd be going back mad. Jim, Stewie, fellas going, in the right way, like not going mad, just ranting and raving. You go to matches now, it's so quiet, the lads.
Oh, yeah, but like it's what the game is lacking at the moment. Mm. I mean, look at Manchester United.
Oh,
they're fucking shambles, like, you know. You need someone to say, here, get
Harry Ware's apologising.
Get a hold of it. You got players fucking apologising. What? It's ponces.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Fucking ponces. So he's got a bit of needle about him, Greg, which I've always liked. He has that real. Got a real edge to him, which I like. You know, you need that as well. And he's been a huge influence to Sligo this year. I have to say that experience, a very high consistent performer. Mm. You know, always,
you know, getting your eight out of ten.
You know,
week.
Quality as well. And he's been a big influence on them. I have to say, do you play golf? Do you?
No.
No.
The odd game here.
Say Liam.
Liam.
You were saying Liam there. You were
no,
going,
I didn't.
You were.
Liam.
Yeah, Liam.
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 That's Sligo. That's Sligo talk.
I'm struggling with Liam.
You want to see, if you think I'm bad, you want to see Riverstown, where Johnny Kenny is from. But yeah, so he's a great wee lad, Johnny, and good luck to him. But just in terms of the fact that, Stu, the last thing I wanted to talk about, and talking about people with influence on teams and careers, and the game here in general going forward, Damien Duff taking over at Shells.
Oh yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's quality. I'm really delighted with this now, I have to say.
Now before I just say one thing, and it would be remiss of us to not say this. We had Ian Morrison here a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
Lovely lad, great lad. I was surprised by the news initially, I have to say.
I didn't know. None of us knew that.
Ian was obviously speaking about the new season and the whole lot. So we obviously feel aggrieved for Ian. But then when you move it on in terms of the appointment they've made, and it's no disrespect to Ian or anything, but Damien Duff, to be coming into our league, not just Shelburne, but to be coming into our league, I think it's unbelievable news.
Well, for me, it's Shelburne. It is. And you're right. It's great to see him, a player of that calibre. Mm. Like that calibre. I mean, you know.
One of the best we've ever produced.
Top quality player. Won how many Premier Leagues?
Two Premier Leagues.
Under Jose Mourinho. People, you know, need to be reminded. Ian Robin, Damien Duff.
They're best
fucking
the best.
Unbelievable, yeah. And an incredible international career. I loved his press conference. Just loved it. I think he'll be a breath of fresh air. Blatantly honest, vulnerable, and admitted he's vulnerable. You know, he was afraid to take the role. Just didn't think he was ready or whatever. So he's got inner demons in him, and that's where you get your drive and hunger from. He's admitting that he's putting himself out of his comfort zone. I just love all this stuff, like, you know. And just from a Shelburne point of view, Shelburne have to get back to where they were 20 years ago, okay? And it's a mentality as it is anything else. It's as much a mental thing as anything else. I'm a little bit, so, you know, I keep my ear to the ground a little bit with Shelburne at the moment. And at the moment, I just don't recognise the club. I think they're just a little bit lost in terms of their identity. And I'm not being critical, I think, but I just think there are people there who want to push this, get back to where they used to be. And then what I'm trying to say is, supporters, right? Winning the first division title, grand. Don't get fucking used to it. You need to be starting to try and win Premier divisions again, like, you know, because that's where Shells should be. They have a huge history in the game, and huge clout as well. I mean, when you see Shell start doing well again, they'll be able to attract any players down there, like, you know. So
well, with him at the helm as well.
With him at the helm as well, yeah. So it's a mentality thing for me. I loved everything he had to say. I think it's the injection that the club needs. The Premier Division will be much better for it, like, you know, to have a strong. Hopefully, look, he's going to need time as well, Alan. Like, you know, I mean, acquisition of players is always the most difficult thing. Who's available? Who can you get in? And he'll obviously have very high standards. But I think he was very open in that he to me anyway, he kind of put across a message that he's a player's manager. Mm. You know, this idea that you can contact me 24/7. Once you're my friend, I'll always be here. So I like that, like, you know. So I think it's very exciting. You know, I'm delighted.
I think he's brilliant. I can't get enough of Duff. I do. I love the fact that, as you said, he's so honest. But just in terms of the exposure the league will get because of him. Like, you look at BBC, Sky, they were all... Soccer AM even asked the question, who did the...
Oh, yeah, it's fucking RT led with it, like, you know? Yeah. I mean, RT led with the news story, the sports story. Yeah. And that's it.
And sometimes, to be fair, Stu, one of the things that drew a bit of the first kind of thing that he said was about the facilities, but the GA was his comment or whatever.
Yes,
which
yeah.
is something that we've said, but the clout that he carries, that he says it, and all of a sudden, like, we had the CEO, Jonathan Hill, was replying back to a tweet from Conor Hoy, the Drogheda chairman. So straight away he felt the need, if Duff says this, the CEO is straight
people
out.
People start listening,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Oh, we better put an answer to this or whatever, you know, that kind of way. So.
Yeah, and it's people around him will feed off that, you know. Like, it's very easy to get comfortable in a club, okay, you know, you need someone in there fucking driving it, like, you know, and it's primarily mostly the manager. Mm. The manager says, I want better.
Yeah, our
I want
experience was always Pat, and he was driving.
Yeah, I want better players. I want a better training facility. I want everything to be better.
Yeah.
And you aim for perfection. You'll never get there, but you'll get as close as you can. Mm. You know.
So yeah, I think that's brilliant. Another thing that we must mention is Liam Lyons' son scored at the weekend, Josh, and it was all the underage finals over the weekend, which was a great weekend because they streamed them all live and all. And we obviously had Will in here a few months back, Will Clark, and they streamed all the games, the 17s, the 19s, the 15s. I think Shamrock Rovers won the 17s and the 19s. But Liam Lyons, who's Paul's boss, I hope he's a good boss. Paul says you're a good boss, Liam.
Listens to the show, doesn't he?
So look after Paul, yeah. But Josh obviously scored at the weekend as well.
Well done, Josh.
Yeah,
good
fair
man.
Play to Josh. We'll be looking out for him in the future. Hopefully we'll be talking about you in a couple of years. But we said we have to give him a mention. And yeah, look after our Paul as well, Liam. So Stu, next week, two songs. Is it two songs? Two songs.
Yeah. Well, I have to fucking do this in between the show. So everyone will be.
Tell the people what you want. You talk to the people there now what you want. Next
I week. Want people to put your fucking cameras away.
No cameras.
Don't talk. I'm on joking now. You can do whatever you want.
All right, go on.
Well, I'm just going to do two songs. Yeah, I'll do two songs.
Okay, so the plan is we'll have our first chat. People that are going, and I'm delighted with the people that I think. By the way, we should mention. So the first 100 tickets or whatever it was sold out. So we put out another few, and I think there's a handful left. But so if you do want tickets, I think there is a couple left. But we're looking forward to seeing everyone coming along.
What time is it at?
7 o'clock next week.
Starting.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Be there. Seven bells.
What's the point? People are going to want to notice.
Can people buy you a pint?
No, a glass of red wine.
Oh,
see, no, don't buy him cheese.
He's very sophisticated. No. But no,
so 7 o'clock start. Yeah.
So we'll have the lads on first.
Okay.
The League of Ireland panel as such. Then we'll have Stewie's concert in the middle, and then we'll have Kenny. And we do have someone else to add.
Kenny
to
Cunningham.
Oh, Kenny.
You have said him to shut up now during this. Okay?
Will be there.
I can't be listening to him.
Or who was it? Cunningham.
Yeah.
But so Kenny will obviously be there. But we do have another announcement, people, that we're going to leave till Saturday this weekend and announce it. And we hope to add to it, and we will add to it. But we'll wait for that during the week. But as I say, there's a couple of tickets left. But for anyone that is going, we're looking forward to seeing you all. Ask questions. We're going to do a thing on the social media channels later in the week where we might put it out there for you to ask questions if you want of any of the panel.
We could do an audience ask questions thing.
No, well, it will be that. But rather than go around with a mic around the floor, I think we're going to do one where people might have already.
And we'll call out their name. Yeah,
exactly.
Please do that. Yeah, because we want people to be relaxed and to chat and come over and say hello before you arrive, because it's a very, Sugar Club is a very intimate place like that. So
and
it's
that's
nice
what we want. It's all very low key, bit of crack, bit of fun. We'll have a bit of slagging, and you can slag us all you want as well. But we are really looking forward to it, lads. We've wanted to do this for a long, long time. As I say, COVID put pay to those plans last year. This is our chance to do it, and we're really, really excited about it and looking forward to it. So for anyone that's going, We're looking forward to it. For anyone that's not going, shower of shites. Okay, Stu, thanks a million.
Cheers, Al.
We'll see everyone in the Sugar Club next week. And a big thanks to Paul Morris, as always, and Benetti Menswear. And not only are they looking after the podcast, they're looking after the live show as well next week. So thanks a million to them. We will see you all next week.
Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.